理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 7 Hot Issues Part 1 Communication Skills Showing Likes and Dislikes Task 2 Listen to the tape and do the following exercises 1 Listen to the following conversation and fill in the missing information
Hey, Kathy!I'm thinking about renting a movie for tonight's party.
Okay. What kind of movies do you have in mind?
Well, what about action movies?
Nah, I don't really like action movies. Too much violence.
Do you like comedies?
Yes, I enjoy comedies.
Fine. What do you think of horror movies or love stories?
I'm not really crazy about horror movies.But love stories are often fun to watch.
Okay, I'll see what I can find.
2. Listen to the following conversation and complete the information.
I love blondes, don't you, Dick? I like dark-haired girls better. I love a girl with a nice smile. I can't say I do, Tom.What I prefer is a girl who is good-natured. Surely you like a girl with good looks. Yes, but I am fond of a girl who has brains. But surely you would like a girl to have a lot of money. Not particularly. I like a girl to be charming.
3. Listen to the following passage and write down the answers to the questions.
I'm a toll collector on the turnpike. I've been working there for a year and I really hate the job. The work is boring. I just stand in a small booth and collect 50 cents or a token. It's the same thing over and over for 8 or 9 hours. In the winter, I'm always cold, especially my fingers. In the summer, I'm always hot because there's no air conditioning.Also, I hate the smell of car fumes. The smell of gas gives me an headache. Terrible. From 11 p.m. to 7 a.m, I can't go out with my friends because I have to be home by 10 to get ready for work. My boss is never satisfied. He complains that I work too slowly. And there's no ocean. I don't want to collect tolls for the next 30 years.It's time to look for a new job. Part 2 Activities Task 1 Listen to the passage and do the following exercises. Our Aging Society 1. Listen and decide whether the following statements are true or false.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.It gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker, Dr. Howard Miller, Professor of Sociology at Washington University. He has written many articles and books on the issues facing older Americans in our graying society. Dr. Miller.
Thank you for that introduction. Today, I'd like to begin my talk from a story of my family.Several years ago, when my grandparents were well into their 80s, they were faced with the reality of no longer being able to care for themselves. My grandfather spoke of his greatest fear, that of leaving the only home they had known for the past 60 years. Fighting back the tears, he spoke proudly of the fact that he had built their home from the ground up and that he had laid every brick in the process. The prospect of having to sell their home and give up their independence and move into a retirement home was an extremely upsetting experience for them. It was, in my grandfather's own words, like having an arm cut off. He exclaimed that he felt he wasn't important anymore. For them, and some older Americans, their so-called golden years are at times not so pleasant. For this period can mean the decline of not only one's health, but the loss of identity and self-worth. This self-identity is closely related with our social status, occupation, material possessions, or independence. Furthermore, we often live in societies that value what is new. In our language, the word old gives us the images of the need to replace or discard. I mean, how would your family react if you come home tonight and say, "Hey, come to the living room and see the old black and white TV I bought"? Now, many of the lectures given at this conference have focused on the issues of pension reform, medical care, and the development of public facilities for senior citizens. And while these are important issues, I'd like to focus on an underlying issue. That is what it means to be part of this elderly group, and finding meaningful roles the elderly can and should play in our societies. 2. Listen again and write down the answers to the following questions.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker, Dr. Howard Miller, Professor of Sociology at Washington University. He has written many articles and books on the issues facing older Americans in our graying society. Dr. Miller.
Thank you for that introduction. Today, I'd like to begin my talk from a story of my family. Several years ago, when my grandparents were well into their 80s, they were faced with the reality of no longer being able to care for themselves. My grandfather spoke of his greatest fear, that of leaving the only home they had known for the past 60 years. Fighting back the tears, he spoke proudly of the fact that he had built their home from the ground up and that he had laid every brick in the process. The prospect of having to sell their home and give up their independence and move into a retirement home was an extremely upsetting experience for them. It was, in my grandfather's own words, like having an arm cut off. He exclaimed that he felt he wasn't important anymore. For them, and some older Americans, their so-called golden years are at times not so pleasant. For this period can mean the decline of not only one's health, but the loss of identity and self-worth. This self-identity is closely related with our social status, occupation, material possessions, or independence. Furthermore, we often live in societies that value what is new. In our language, the word old gives us the images of the need to replace or discard. I mean, how would your family react if you come home tonight and say, "Hey, come to the living room and see the old black and white TV I bought"? Now, many of the lectures given at this conference have focused on the issues of pension reform, medical care, and the development of public facilities for senior citizens. And while these are important issues, I'd like to focus on an underlying issue. That is what it means to be part of this elderly group, and finding meaningful roles the elderly can and should play in our societies. Task 2. Listen to the news from the VOA Special English Program and then do the following exercises. Genetically Engineered Food. 1. Listen and write down the answers to the following questions.
This is the VOA Special English Agriculture Report. A food crisis in southern Africa has added to the debate about the use of genetic engineering in agriculture. The United Nations says almost 13 million people in southern Africa need emergency food aid. UN officials have urged other countries to provide food and money. The UN said only one-fourth of the money needed to provide food assistance has been offered. Caught in the middle? America's top agricultural official reacted to the UN report with a statement. Agriculture Secretary Ann Veneman noted that the United States is the largest provider of food aid to southern Africa. But Ms. Veneman said opponents of genetically engineered food have limited the ability of the United States to send food. She accused them of providing misguided statements about the American food system. She said the goal is to create fear. Ms. Veneman said the food the United States is offering is safe and the same food that Americans eat. The American official did not name any organization in her statement, but her spokesman gave Greenpeace as an example. Representatives denied the charges. Earlier this month, President Robert Mugabe announced that Zimbabwe will accept genetically engineered maize from the UN World Food Programme. This was a change in policy. But in Zambia, President Levi Manawaza has called genetically engineered food poison and dangerous. The Zambian government argues that such food could mix with native crops. It says a genetically engineered crop could threaten Zambian exports. European countries refuse genetically engineered food. More than 2 million people in Zambia need emergency food aid. The president says Zambia can produce enough food to last until December. In Malawi, President Bakali Muluzi said any genetically engineered food aid must be processed to protect native crops. Jacques Diouf heads the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. Mr. Diouf says he recognizes there are concerns about possible risks to the environment and to agriculture. But he urged southern African countries to consider scientific information. He says that, based on current knowledge, the food being offered is not likely to present a human health risk.
2. Listen again and decide whether the following statements are true or false.
This is the VOA Special English Agriculture Report. A food crisis in southern Africa has added to the debate about the use of genetic engineering in agriculture. The United Nations says almost 13 million people in southern Africa need emergency food aid. UN officials have urged other countries to provide food and money. The UN said only one-fourth of the money needed to provide food assistance has been offered. Caught in the middle? America's top agricultural official reacted to the UN report with a statement. Agriculture Secretary Ann Veneman noted that the United States is the largest provider of food aid to southern Africa. But Ms. Veneman said opponents of genetically engineered food have limited the ability of the United States to send food. She accused them of providing misguided statements about the American food system. She said the goal is to create fear. Ms. Veneman said the food the United States is offering is safe and the same food that Americans eat. The American official did not name any organization in her statement, but her spokesman gave Greenpeace as an example. Representatives denied the charges. Earlier this month, President Robert Mugabe announced that Zimbabwe will accept genetically engineered maize from the UN World Food Programme. This was a change in policy. But in Zambia, President Levi Manawaza has called genetically engineered food poison and dangerous. The Zambian government argues that such food could mix with native crops. It says a genetically engineered crop could threaten Zambian exports. European countries refuse genetically engineered food. More than 2 million people in Zambia need emergency food aid. The president says Zambia can produce enough food to last until December. In Malawi, President Bakali Muluzi said any genetically engineered food aid must be processed to protect native crops. Jacques Diouf heads the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. Mr. Diouf says he recognizes there are concerns about possible risks to the environment and to agriculture. But he urged southern African countries to consider scientific information. He says that, based on current knowledge, the food being offered is not likely to present a human health risk.
3. Listen to the news a third time and complete the information.
This is the VOA Special English Agriculture Report. A food crisis in southern Africa has added to the debate about the use of genetic engineering in agriculture. The United Nations says almost 13 million people in southern Africa need emergency food aid. UN officials have urged other countries to provide food and money. The UN said only one-fourth of the money needed to provide food assistance has been offered. Caught in the middle? America's top agricultural official reacted to the UN report with a statement. Agriculture Secretary Ann Veneman noted that the United States is the largest provider of food aid to southern Africa. But Ms. Veneman said opponents of genetically engineered food have limited the ability of the United States to send food. She accused them of providing misguided statements about the American food system. She said the goal is to create fear. Ms. Veneman said the food the United States is offering is safe and the same food that Americans eat. The American official did not name any organization in her statement, but her spokesman gave Greenpeace as an example. Representatives denied the charges. Earlier this month, President Robert Mugabe announced that Zimbabwe will accept genetically engineered maize from the UN World Food Programme. This was a change in policy. But in Zambia, President Levi Manawaza has called genetically engineered food poison and dangerous. The Zambian government argues that such food could mix with native crops. It says a genetically engineered crop could threaten Zambian exports. European countries refuse genetically engineered food. More than 2 million people in Zambia need emergency food aid. The president says Zambia can produce enough food to last until December. In Malawi, President Bakali Muluzi said any genetically engineered food aid must be processed to protect native crops. Jacques Diouf heads the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. Mr. Dioff says he recognizes there are concerns about possible risks to the environment and to agriculture. But he urged southern African countries to consider scientific information. He says that, based on current knowledge, the food being offered is not likely to present a human health risk. Part 3. Listening strategy. Identifying places. Task 1. Listen to the tape and decide where the conversations most likely take place.
1. Can I watch TV?
No, not until you finish your homework. 2. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to order a cheeseburger and a small Coke. 3. Excuse me, where can I find the reference books?
They're on the third floor. 4. I'd like 2 tickets for the 5:50 showing of the Titanic.
That'll be $9. 5. Sorry to trouble you. Can I borrow a blanket? I feel cold.
I think we've got some. Could you wait until after takeoff?
6. Could you tell me how much is in my checking account?
Yes, $95.
7. I'm going to send this parcel to Boston. What is the postage for it?
Let me see. It's $12. 8. Have you found anything wrong with my stomach?
Not yet. I'm still examining. I'll let you know the result next week.
Task 2. Listen to the tape and write down the answers to the questions.
Hello, ma'am. Are you having car problems?
I know, officer. I decided to pull off the road so that I could look at this map.
You aren't supposed to park here.
Sorry. I was hoping that I would have been gone by now.
What are you looking for?
The Department of Motor Vehicles.
I can probably help you.
Task 3. Listen to the tape and choose the best answers to the questions you hear. What's your name?
Frank Berman. Why did you bring me here?
I'll tell you in a minute. How old are you?
24. Why are you asking me these questions?
There was a supermarket robbery last night, and I think you have some information about it.
Me? I don't know anything about a supermarket robbery.
What were you doing from 8 to 9 last night?
I was watching TV.
Alone?
No, I was with my girlfriend. We were watching TV together.
What program were you watching?
I forget. I think it was a Western.
Where did you go after you left your girlfriend's?
I went home. I never went near the centre supermarket.
I think you're lying. I never told you the name of the store.
Questions. 1. Where did the conversation most likely take place?
2. What happened last night?
3. What didn't the police ask Frank?
4. Why did the police think Frank had committed the robbery?
Part 4. Extensive listening. Task 1. Listen to the conversation and decide whether the following statements are true or false. Granny is a problem.
Now, Professor Taylor, in your latest book, Granny Doesn't Live Here Anymore, you suggested that Granny is a problem in Britain. Am I correct?
Yes. In fact, it's not only Granny who is a problem. It's Grandfather too, and old people in general.
It seems very sad that parents should give so much of their lives to bringing up their children, and then when they become old, be regarded as a problem. Now, why do you think this is? Surely having a granny about the place to take care of the younger children and give a hand with the housework can take a lot of pressure off a young wife, can't it?
Yes, I think this is true. But remember, the old people themselves are often totally opposed to the idea of going to live with the young family. And modern houses and apartments are small.
And when Granny gets very old, the situation becomes even worse, doesn't it?
Yes. As long as old people are able to look after themselves, the system works quite well. But as soon as they need care and attention, the situation becomes very difficult indeed.
Well, suppose a point comes when old people have to go into a nursing home.
Yes, but it's not as simple as that. The number of places in old people's homes provided by the state is limited. There are private nursing homes, but the cost is way out of reach of the average family.
And how do you see the situation developing in the future? Do you think Granny will go back to live with the family?
I think this is most unlikely.
Task 2. Listen to the following passage and choose the best answers to the questions you hear. Drunk driving.
It's the beginning of a holiday weekend. Police officer Ed Williams and 10 other officers are receiving instructions from their captain. They are on a special watch this weekend, trying to prevent accidents by drunk drivers. This weekend, over 400 people in the United States are going to die from accidents caused by drunk drivers. Over 4,000 people are going to receive serious injuries, all caused by drunk drivers. At the same time, Joe Frazier is enjoying himself at a family party. He's been there for 4 hours. It's getting late and he's telling his sister that he's going to leave. She's asking him to stay and sleep over, but he thinks he can drive safely. "Don't worry, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to drive slowly. I only had a few drinks." Officer Williams is in a parking lot, watching cars on the main street. A white car is coming toward him, waving from left to right. Officer Williams stops the car and tells Joe to get out. He asks Joe to walk along the white line. He can't do it. Officer William arrests Joe and takes him to the police station. At the police station, Joe fails the breath test. Officer Williams gives a summon. Joe calls his sister. She's going to post $350 bail and drive him to her house. This is Joe's first offence. He's going to appear in court next week. According to the law in his state, Joe is going to receive a $400 fine. The judge is going to suspend his license for 6 months. Also, Joe has to attend a special program for drunk drivers and do community service. Joe knows, too, that his insurance is going to go up an additional $1,000 a year for 3 years. Joe is very angry at himself. He was stupid to drive. He's worried about the extra money and how he's going to get to work. He will never drink and drive again.
Questions. 1. Why are police officers on special watch this weekend?
2. Why does Joe's sister ask Joe to sleep over?
3. Why does Officer Williams stop Joe's car?
4. How much is the fine for Joe for drunk driving?
5. Which of the following is not right about the penalty?
Task 3. Listen to the following passage and write down the answers to the questions. A distressed woman.
Dear Doctor, my husband and I got married in 1989, and for the first 10 years of our marriage, I was very happy to stay at home and raise our children. But 4 years ago, our youngest child went to school, and I thought I might go back to work. After several weeks of job hunting, I found my present job, which is working for a small public relations company. At first, my husband was very proud of me and would tell his friends, "My clever little wife can run that company she's working for." But as his joking remark came to reality, my husband stopped talking to me about my job. I have received several promotions and pay rises, and I am now making more money than he is. I can buy my own clothes and a new car. I can do many things that we had always dreamed of doing, but we don't do these things because he is very unhappy. We fight about little things, and my husband is very critical of me in front of our friends. For the first time in our marriage, I think there is a possibility that our marriage may come to an end. I love my husband very much, and I don't want him to feel inferior, but I also love my job. I think I can be a good wife and a working woman, but I don't know how. Can you give some advice? Will I have to choose one or the other, or can I keep both my husband and my new career? Please help. Distressed.